Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Wednesdays in the Word. Okay, I hope you have your Bible and something to write on and something to write with. Those of you that have our verse mapping journal, get it out. We're going to start a new verse. A piece of paper will do. It doesn't even have to have lines on it. It can be a blank piece of paper. But whatever is going to help, just allow you to become actively involved with the Word of God. That is our hope and goal, is that you become an active participant in the Word of God. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to be active in your Word so that you can activate us. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us, to our mind, to our hearts, and therefore then to our actions. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're starting a new verse. I don't know about you, but I have loved Joshua. Can I hear an amen for Joshua? Wow. Wasn't he a willing vessel? So much that he did in support of Moses. And then when he was called to man up and lead, wow, how he imitated Christ-like characteristics before Christ even came to earth. How he allowed God to move in him and motivate others by being so faithful and trusting. We're going to start a new verse. I first ask you to be involved with it by looking it up in your Bible. And then the first step we do is we just write the verse down. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I choose to start by using the ESV, English Standard Version. It does not matter whatsoever the translation you choose to start with. One of the steps that we use in verse mapping is we look at other translations. So in some form or fashion, we'll all probably be mirroring each other and overlapping, but pick one. Pick the Bible that you read in and day out. And that's how I want you to write down 2 Corinthians 12, 9 on your paper or journal. But I'm going to read it out of the ESV version. This is the way I wrote it down. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to read it one more time. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to actually look at who wrote 2 Corinthians. Who wrote it? And I'm going to give you some reminders. If this is new to you, to verse map, to become involved and active in the Word of God, I use and I offer for others to use Bible Hub. Totally free. You can go to it on your laptop, computer, iPad, phone. And the first thing you're going to do is once you get to Bible Hub, you're going to go and actually type in the book of the Bible that you are presently studying, the chapter or the verse of. So just type in 2 Corinthians. after you get that pulled up, there's going to be an option for you to click on the word S-U-M, sum, which is short for summary. And then from there, you can click on book study. And that's going to give you biblical context about any and all books of the Bible. That's the same process, same step for us to first look at the biblical context. Put in the book of the Bible through Bible Hub, click on sum for the summary, and then book study. And it will walk you right through it. And so we're going to explore and be in 2 Corinthians for a while as we map through this verse. So you're going to have plenty of time to look at this. If you need other examples for a walkthrough, you can go back to my podcast episode, season 1, episode 12, and I do a deep dive of biblical context. It's walking you through the whole process using Joshua 1:9. Another episode is season 1, episode 77. It's the whole biblical context for Psalm 119, verse 114. So we're going to skip on and get to the meat of it, but I wanted to just touch base for anybody that's jumped in season 2 and is like, where is she getting this information about the biblical context of a book of the Bible? So there you go. Okay, 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, written around AD 55-56, which AD means after the death of Christ. It's the fourth letter that Paul sent to the church he founded in Corinth. A little side note there is I actually graduated from high school from Corinth, Mississippi. I moved around a lot, so I only went there 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, but in Corinth, Mississippi. So anytime a pastor or Sunday school teacher or anybody would have us studying Corinthians, I would always think, oh man, I lived in Corinth, and here he's writing to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians. And specifically through Bible Hub, once you look at the summary and the book study of the book, you can actually go and even look at themes of the different chapters. I also have a study Bible that does that as well. So since this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I went specifically to the theme of chapter 12. And chapter 12's theme is on how a Christian's behavior can remain amidst adversity. And we of late have been talking about like identifying your Jericho. And if you listen to my Motivational Mondays, we've been talking about choosing joy and re-choosing joy and how we make the wait worth it. Sometimes we say, wow, is that worth the wait? And I want us to rethink of it as there is worth in the waiting. Not that something is worth the wait, but there's worth in the waiting. Anyway, that's 2 Corinthians, which it was actually something I cross-referenced from my Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians to 2 Corinthians, because it is about endurance. How endurance is made possible simply by the grace of God. And Paul modeled that himself, how he endured only by God's grace. So those of you that are still finding the worth in the wait, being worthy in the waiting, and you're still enduring, then guess what? You've identified your Jericho. You've let it go. I hope your swords are up, your shoes are off, and you're standing on. But that doesn't mean it's snap of the finger answered. There's endurance involved. There's perseverance involved. So we're going to keep on that theme. So Paul reminds us that it's only by God's presence and God's power and God's glory that we can make it in this fallen world. We have to seek Him daily. And another theme is Jesus, the one and only comfort for our suffering, can give us strength. If we give Him our weakness, if we give Him our weakness and draw His strength, it's like a great trade. That's a win-win. That's winner-winner, chicken dinner. You can give Him all of your weakness and cha-ching, get all of his strengths. Some of you may have heard me. It's like giving the mess and grabbing from the Messiah. It's giving him all your suffering because he's your Savior. Give him everything that's lollygagging, hanging off of you because he's your Lord. It's a great trade. It's a trade up. So Paul had learned that the church at Corinth was struggling and he cared about them. And so he sought to take some action because he wanted to preserve the unity of that local church body of believers. And what he does is he writes them this letter and he is very vulnerable. And he reveals some very personal things about his own persecution and his own suffering for the sake of Christ to remind them that he's in this too, that he's not just telling them something to do that he's not doing. He's not telling them to walk something he's not walking, which for all of you wall walkers that have been with us through Joshua, that's the whole point of having a wall walker. Someone that's going to walk around your wall and pray with you to be strong and pray for God's strength to enable you to lay down your weakness and rely on him and not give up and persevere and endure. That's the whole reason we have others around us. They're walking their walls. You're walking your walls. You can share in the suffering and remind each other, we know who's sufficient. We know who's sufficient. Okay, so first thing first, write down the verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Second thing, really go in there and explore and look about Paul and 2 Corinthians and the church of Corinth and what was going on. Read the chapter before, read the chapter after, read 1 Corinthians if you want to reframe yourself in 2 Corinthians. But sitting in it and putting you in the position of what is going on contextually in history helps you to make sure you keep the verse in context for the situation of what is going on. So basically, this is a letter of vision that he is sharing with this body of believers that he loves and adores. And he wants to basically let them know, you know, this isn't easy. God never said it'd be easy, but he did say it was worth it. Here is one quote from Charles Stanley to go along with the emphasis of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Charles Stanley writes, "The Christian life is impossible. You can't live it. I can't live it. But Christianity is not the problem. The problem is that we've been trying to live life apart from the help of the Holy Spirit." Yes. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. That's what happens. When life is the hardest, I'm living too far away from God. Think about that. Think about the times in your life when life's been hard. Where have you been in proximity in your relationship to God? God doesn't move. I have to remind myself of that. God doesn't go anywhere. I'm the one that wavers. I'm the one that wavers. So life can't be lived without the help of the Holy Spirit. That is why when Jesus told his disciples, it's actually better that I go, because God's going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit in my absence. And can you imagine that as a disciple? The disciples would be like, you've got to be crazy. Nothing would be better than you being here with us. And Jesus is like, you can't even comprehend what you're going to get. You're going to get a part of the Trinity. You're going to get a part of deity. You're going to get the ability of the mind of Christ, of God, in the Holy Spirit, in you, if you just tap into it, if you discipline yourself daily in a pattern of routine to ask for that revelation of that Holy Spirit, to be in tune, to be in touch, to be changed. to be made more pure. So that is what is so exciting about this verse to me. And a little bit of that backstory before we get to chapter 12, verse 9, let's look up at verse 8. This is Paul, remember, writing to this church of Corinth. He says, 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. What is he talking about? Anytime you read something and you need more clarity, read a little farther up. So let's go a little farther up. Let's look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And then verse 9 that we've committed to walking out is God's answer to him. So if you need a little more context, keep reading. So let's start all the way with verse 1, chapter 12. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. I must go on boasting, which if you're like boasting, we're going to get way into the thick of the holiness of what the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us about boasting from this verse. But Paul says, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. So basically he's saying he is aware of a man that was given revelations, premonitions, visions, and he wants to retell the church that, but he doesn't want to anyway, like egotistically, pridefully talk about it. He just wants to say that this is real, this happens. If you're seeking a sign, God will give you a sign if and when you should receive it. But he's saying the only thing he's going to boast about, express information about, is his weaknesses. And so to put a bigger emphasis, exclamation point on that, he explains how much about his weakness. He basically says, for whatever reason, to keep him humble, Satan has given him a thorn in his flesh, some type of physical ailment that is hurting him, causing him pain. And what did Paul do? Paul did what we all do when something happens. We're like, God, could you remove this from me? And if you look at chapter 12, verse 8, he didn't say once. He didn't say twice. He said three times. He didn't just pray and ask. He pleaded. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And then chapter 12, verse 9, the verse we're writing down is what we're going to study. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So basically what Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, that we can then investigate and study and take the truth for us, what needs to be taken. Basically what Paul is saying is, guys, perspective check. I have an issue right now, and I'm only telling you about it so you know about God, a little bit more about God. Three times I asked God, pleaded with him to take this away from me. He didn't take it away from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in this weakness. So then Paul says, you know what? I'm going to then give you more information about my weakness. So the power of Christ is more eminent in me. So after writing the verse down, 2 Corinthians 12:9, after spending some time investigating about the author, about the book, like I said, go back and read chapter 11, read all of chapter 12, read chapter 13, go read 1 Corinthians, do what you need to do. And then the next step is to isolate some of the key words within that verse. I'm not even going to tell you which ones I isolated because I don't want you just to copy that copycat. I want you to prayerfully, when I look at the verse, I really say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me your truths. And whatever words within that verse that I'm being pulled to, I don't even have to know why I'm being pulled. Don't question it. Even if it's a silly word, you're like, well, I know what that means. You don't know the way that word means in that verse for this moment in time. If the Holy Spirit pulls you to it, go through it. So I've isolated 6. You can isolate 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. I don't care. But isolate any of those words in that verse that you just know the Holy Spirit is urging you to look into. I'm going to read it for us one more time. And then when we meet again next Wednesday in the Word, we're going to continue talking about 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.